veteran brought to my attention that I have been remiss. It was supposed to be the National Witch of Endor Day. Thursday was supposed to be the Witch of Endor Day, when I was going to explain to you the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I didn't do it. I forgot. Somebody reminded me, Martin, you left us hanging on the Witch of Endor, which some people use to prove that the dead are alive. Well, they're not, and I'm going to talk about that today. Sorry for the delay. Sorry. All right. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and I'm getting more mail than ever. I got two people now that have had near-death experiences, and I'm going to share those letters with you. More comments on this topic. It really has raised a lot of interest. I'm trying to keep everybody straight, so I am going to read these letters tomorrow and the next day. Probably it's going to take another couple days to tie up the loose ends here, but for now, let's go to this passage. And this is so interesting because just recently somebody asked me about this, and they hadn't been listening to the show, if you can believe that. I mean, what? Not listening to my show? You're kidding me. But anyway, they weren't, and they asked, what about the Witch of Endor? Didn't the Witch of Endor bring up Samuel from the dead? And actually, no, she did not. Because she's a witch. Hello. Witches do bad things. And Israelites weren't supposed to go to witches or necromancers. People who supposedly talk to dead people. Spirits can imitate dead people. And spirits will lead you astray. The fact that we're conversing with a evil woman who is in touch with the spirit world should tell us that something's askew, something's wrong, and her word is not to be trusted. So, as a side issue to our side issue, I'm going to explain to you here that the dead are dead. Now, you will find the whole context of this story, this account, I should say, in 1 Samuel chapter 28. Saul is the king of Israel. Samuel has died. Saul is the king of Israel. I'm setting up the scene here for you. And Saul is being attacked by none other than the Philistines. Well, naturally, Philistines were an ornery group of people, and they liked to attack Israel. And when there was a wise man of God around, such as Samuel, then things went well. He was a wise person, a wise judge, wise man. And he died, and now Saul is left wanting. He has no one to confer with because he really depended on Saul. The Spirit of God came and went from him. As we know, he was not a great king of Israel, and the Philistines are attacking under his watch. He doesn't know what to do. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can talk to Samuel anyway. I'll talk to him after he's died. Now, for one thing, he's not believing clear declarations of God concerning death, that the dead do not live. I'm going to run some of those verses past you here. Maybe I should do it now. It's so interesting when God puts verses like this in Scripture and uses phrases such as the dead do not live. Live and not die. To live and not die. In other words, he contrasts life and death constantly for our benefit. Genesis 42 verses 1 and 2, you shall live and not die. So the opposite of not dying is living. So when you're alive, you're not dead. And when you're dead, you're not alive. This is Scripture Basics 101. Death is the absence of life. That's why the wise man says in Ecclesiastes 9:5, the dead do not know anything. Key verse. Keep that in mind. Ecclesiastes 9:5, the dead do not know anything. And in verse 10 of that same chapter, there is no activity, no planting, no wisdom in Sheol, which is the grave. Psalm 146, his spirit departs, and in that very day his thoughts perish, speaking about a man who is dead. I have a reference here to Job 3:11-19. That's a scripture Saul would have had, but I don't have that written down here. Look that up on your own. There's a key passage. I have the reference, but I'll look that up for you tomorrow. It may be comparing death to sleep. The reference is Job 3:11-19. I'll look that up for you tomorrow. I don't want to get distracted on it right now. So anyway, Saul should have known that the dead are dead. But instead, he gets this crazy idea in his head that he can talk to Saul. Talk to Samuel. Saul does. So who does he go to? He goes to a witch. That's a problem. He goes to a woman who contacts the spirit world, and God specifically in the law forbade Israel to speak with these people. It was verboten. So Samuel here, Saul, is committing a double sin. He's not believing God concerning what death is. The dead do not live. And he's also consulting with a medium, a necromancer, someone who purports to talk to the dead. Now, I went to this Bible thing online here. It's called studylight.org. I looked up Samuel and Saul, and I did a random search for the Witch of Endor. And I came up with this website. And really, once you've seen one website on this, you've seen them all. So I'm going to show you what this Christian website, studylight.org, has to say about the Witch of Endor, and I'm going to correct it or approve of it as I go, as I see things, of course. Not that I'm the be-all, end-all of wisdom here, but I know that the dead are not alive, and that's something that not a lot of people know. So I do feel like the be-all, end-all of knowledge in that department, but I don't have to be a genius. I just have to believe Scripture. The dead are not alive. Death is the opposite of life. Life's the opposite of death. So I'm at studylight.org. You can go here yourself if you want. And I just searched Witch of Endor, and this came up. And I just went on it randomly. This is them. The problems raised by the account of Saul's encounter with the Witch of Endor is first in 1 Samuel 28 are legion. In other words, people are always arguing about this. Amongst the problems are the Bible's disapproval of all forms of spiritism, necromancy, witchcraft, the penalty for involvement usually being death. And for those references, Deuteronomy 18, 9 and 12, Exodus 22, 18. Saul knew he should not be consulting this witch who lived in the lovely little burg of Endor. This said, the Bible is not entirely clear as to whether the practice of necromancy, contacting the dead, is actually possible, permissibility aside. I like that. So forget the idea of whether it's permissible to go to somebody who purportedly is talking to the dead. Are they actually talking to the dead? Naturally, this website says it's not entirely clear. Yes, it is. Read the scriptures of what God has to say about death in those passages I just read. It's very clear that people cannot talk to dead people. It's a false art. It's a black art. It's spirits imitating other. Spirits can imitate dead people. They can, and they do. You remember the Catholics? All those women saw vision of Mary at Fatima, and they built shrines around these places where supposedly the Virgin Mary was seen. And, well, it sure looked like her. Well, how do you know it looked like her? Do you have pictures that it sure looked like her? It looked just like Mary. You mean it looked like the picture that artist drew of Mary in the year 1309? Come on. So the spirits can imitate. False spirits, Satan, can imitate the dead because they want you to believe that the dead are alive. Again, because they don't want you to believe Jesus Christ died, because that's a foundation stone of Paul's evangel. So they'll do anything to deceive you. Satan's first lie, remember, was you shall not surely die. And so here he's working through this witch who is purportedly bringing up the spirit of Samuel. Sounds like Samuel. Looks like Samuel, smells like Samuel, but it's not Samuel. It's a deceiving spirit. The website goes on. Can one, hypothetically speaking, contact the dead even if told not to? Or is all spiritism simply contacting deceiving spirits masquerading as the dead? Yes, yes, that is true, website. That is true, studylight.org. Good job. The first issue, then, is one of where do the dead go and do they have any consciousness there? On this issue, my related passage studies on the nature of the afterlife and also Hebrews word studies on soul, spirit, ghost, and Sheol, whatever. All right, this guy has studies here. Great. He goes on, Sheol, or Hades, is the abode of the dead, good and bad alike, until the resurrection. Sheol, we know, is the grave. And whoever's writing this, his name's not on here, but admits that Sheol is translated grave. And Sheol is the place where the soul goes. It's a figure of speech, place, because the soul doesn't go anywhere. The soul is simply you perceiving things. It's not a thing. You can't have a soulectomy. You can't take an x-ray and see your soul. It's the result of a combination of spirit and the body. It's your perception. And when you die, the soul goes away. In other words, it just disappears. You stop seeing things, stop hearing things, stop feeling things, and stop smelling things, which sometimes can be a great blessing, especially on this planet, so where there are lots of bad smells. Anyway, I'll just read this guy. Sheol, or Hades, is the abode of the dead, good and bad alike, until the resurrection. In Sheol, man is neither described as spirit, soul, or body. Man's spirit returns to God. He's right there, Ecclesiastes 12:7. And his body returns to the earth. Correct again. Genesis 3:19, Psalm 104:29, and Psalm 146:4. His soul ceases to be animated by God's spirit or breath in us. That's true. We become silent shadows, best described as asleep. Certainly we are silent and forgetful, according to Psalm 6:5, blah, blah, blah. If silent, then how can we, dead Old Testament prophet or not, speak from the grave? Exactly. I like this so far. The guy's saying, how can an Old Testament prophet speak from the grave? He can't. Very good. Very good. So we are definitely on the right track here. I like this so far. I didn't read this before I came on here because I wanted to do it live with you. I wanted my reactions to be pure and holy. So there you have it. God is certainly, right now he gets kind of shaky. Oh, wait a minute. Let me say this. Wait a minute. I'll probably speak from... Okay. If we cannot contact the dead, or even if we could, they are described as silent and forgetful, then who conjured up the apparition of Saul, Satan, or God? God is certainly all-powerful and able to resurrect us from sleep on the day of resurrection. Yes. He was also able to make Moses and Elijah seem to appear from the dead in the transfiguration accounts in the Gospels. Yeah, you know what that was? It was a vision. God showed Peter, James, and John a vision of the future when Elijah and Moses would be with the glorified Christ in the kingdom of God. They saw something in the future that was not true at the present because it was called a vision. And Jesus himself called it a vision. The vision ended. So that tells you a vision is a figure of speech. It's something not really happening. It's a look into the future. The Apostle John had a vision. He went in spirit to the on the island of Patmos. He went in spirit to the future. And he saw things that were actually happening in the future that were not happening at the time. So the Apostle John could possibly have seen us, you and me, in this world today as we're living. Because he didn't see just a slideshow of what would happen. He went to it happening, but it wasn't happening at the time he was on the island of Patmos. Same with the apparition of Elijah and Moses with Jesus Christ. It was a vision. Elijah and Moses at that moment were dead. So this guy's admitting God can raise anybody up from the dead anytime he wants, which is true, and he can. All right, now this woman, how much time do I have? I think I'm running out of time already. Hang on a second. I got to toggle over to my, and people have been complaining to me, and I appreciate this. They've said, Martin, the shows, they're too short. We just love it. We want you to go on and on because you're so great and fantastic, and we learn so much. I really appreciate that. But my dad always told me, always leave him wanting more, you know, and so I'm afraid I'm going to have to do that tonight. I'm going to have to leave you wanting more here today. So we dealt with the thing from the angle of Saul. And Saul was a bad boy for trying to bring up Samuel on two counts. And tomorrow we're going to look at the Witch of Endor. And we're going to look at her position, her part of this deal. And then having that information, having dispelled these common scriptures that are misunderstood to teach life after death, now we're going to go back to our near-death experiences sent in by our wonderful friends and fellow believers in the body of Christ from around the world. And we are going to find out what these are and what they aren't. And then we're going to get back to Hebrews. You'll see, I can do it. I really can get back to Hebrews. Honestly, I don't know how, but you know, somehow it's going to happen. One day, eventually, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do.